Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. Most of us have been affected one way or the other by the government's call to stay at home, to social distance ourselves, and to self-quarantine. Those who don't have that choice, first responders, hospital personnel, and others, do their jobs at great personal risk. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills spoke with 19-year EMS technician Matthew Llewellyn about how COVID-19 affects his life every day and asked for his observations about the state's stay-at-home policy.
I know it's Creek County, but whereabouts do you actually reside? I forget.
Tulsa, actually.
Oh, okay. And you you've been EMS, paramedic, you've worked in this field for, what, decades?
Almost 20 years, just a little shy of 20 years.
So right at 20 years, so I wasn't far off. I feel good about that. And I've known you for probably most of those 20 years. I think we first ran into each other maybe chasing storms. I remember you taking a picture of me standing on top of my news vehicle trying to spot a tornado.
Well, so I think that was 2013, I believe.
Sounds about right.
Highway 3348.
Yep, and I think that was my third or fourth year chasing, maybe my third year chasing, so I was still pretty new at it. And anyway, so just so people know, Matt is very well-versed in emergency medicine and emergency responses at the county level, the city level. And you posted something on Facebook yesterday that, well, it made me laugh, but it also made really good sense. And without, you know, without using some of the words we probably wouldn't use on the radio, kind of tell me what you were saying. What is the message here for folks?
Yeah, I'll leave out the colorful metaphors that were in that.
Right.
I got to a point of frustration with everyone because no one's listening. No one's paying attention, no matter what we say, what we do. You know, you make a comment and they say, well, what's your credentialing? And then you spit it out there. And then they just either say, oh, sounds like someone's showing off. And then they just continue to ignore you. And I got that frustrated point. I said, listen, we're the experts in this. You know, if you are stranded on top of a 8-story building and there's no way up, we have a plan to get you down. You know, if you have fallen an equal amount into a ground in a pipe, there is a plan somewhere on paper right now to get you out. If you took an M&M and shoved it up your nose and it went into your eustachian tube back by your ear, which is virtually impossible, there's a plan to get it out. We have no plan for this. None. We have zero plan. If an F5 tornado wipes out half of Oklahoma, there's a structured response to that incident. Already exists on paper. Everybody knows that everyone's on their own for 3 days, and the nation will swoop into that area to establish an incident management team to handle the event, right? All the cash of supplies will be brought to that event. It'll be handled. There's no worldwide pandemic plan. There's no plan for nobody's coming to help anybody because every single agency is on their own. There's no mutual aid. There's no, hey, can I borrow this till next month when my supply comes in? We are literally, you know, 3 weeks ago, if you said, hey, Matt, can I donate a teddy bear for the ambulance? I'd have to say no, Russell, because to put it on the ambulance, it has to come packaged and sterilized. Today, I'm on Facebook asking people to make be room. That's where we're at.
You sound not only frustrated, but I guess I'll voice the unspoken question here. Why the hell don't we have a plan, Matthew? How can we not have foreseen this? Did we not think that this was a possibility?
I don't have that answer. You know, there are people that quite literally, it is their job to sit around and think stuff up. And then for those people, there's somebody thinking stuff up. Nobody thought this up. Nobody ever thought pandemic. I honestly think maybe somebody somewhere thought if we ever saw something this level, we would contain it. And clearly that if somebody had that thought, it didn't work.
Well,
but
I mean,
I don't know.
I think we'll handle it. It's not the same as, and here's how we're going to handle it. So, I mean, let me ask you this. When you sit there and listen to what they're saying on the TV, and by they, I mean our elected leaders, I mean our, you know, the heads of our health agencies and our governments, are you happy with the message that they're putting out there, or are you getting a clear message? Because it seems like there's a lot of conflicting information.
There is a lot of conflicting information. And some of what you hear is good, some of what you hear is bad. Some of what we want to hear is happening, and a lot of what we don't want to hear is happening. A lot of what we hear, to use a simple analogy, we've got a fully involved house fire and we're asking for a big helicopter to fly over and dump water on it, and what we're getting is a water balloon to throw at it. You know, that's what we're hearing from, you know, leadership high up. That's the answer we're hearing on the TV. And then statistics, who's sick, who's not, what's communicability rate, what it isn't, what this number means, what that means, it varies channel to channel. So if I were a lay person, if I were an everyday consumer, a citizen, I'd be very upset that it's hard information to disseminate through.
I keep saying it's like sipping water from a fire hose, except now it's like three fire hoses and they're coming from different directions and and we don't know which way to turn. So what are you telling friends and family? What are you telling people that will listen to you?
If you can stay home, stay home. Don't go out. Just stay home. Obviously, yeah, go in your front yard, go in your backyard. You think to yourself, oh, well, I'm going to go get carry out. And yeah, you want to support the local business. But at the same time, you go get carry out and you're grabbing that same credit card machine that they're handing out the window, the wireless device credit card machine that everyone in front of you has touched, everyone behind you. And this thing spreads like a wildfire. Every infected person infects an average of 2.5 other people. So stay home. You know, we can't handle this as it is. Doctors and hospitals in every city on the planet where this is at are deciding right this second who gets to live, who gets to die, who gets a ventilator, who doesn't. Every time people don't listen to what we're begging them to do, somebody else has to be chosen to be the person who dies.
I keep hearing people say, oh, this is much ado about nothing. It's just the flu. This thing's not that dangerous. I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy theories about how this is all, you know, a big thing for political purposes or to wreck our economy or to affect the elections or whatever. You buy in any of that?
No. And by the way, let's say for giggles that the virus is a conspiracy telling everyone. So where it came from is kind of a moot point. You know, right now we just have to deal with the fact that it is what it is. It's killing people. You know, influenza has a mortality rate of around 0.1% annually. 0.1%. This is well over 1%. It's a significantly higher mortality rate. And the communicability is through the roof. This thing spreads like nothing we've seen.
I heard Congressman Hearn had a town hall the other day, and he had a doctor on there who said, yeah, we think this virus can live for up to 2 days on a surface. I've heard 10. What have you heard?
Okay. Remember those three fire hoses you mentioned?
I do.
The best data I would trust, I have seen two. This is how much data I've seen. I have seen two that had the same answer. So since I've seen two and all the others were one, we'll go with that. Up to 5 days, but that is under laboratory conditions. Right? Clean room. So outside of that, I don't think anyone has a good answer.
And I don't think anybody has good answers to a lot of questions. And one thing that I've been struggling to explain to folks is this virus showed up like 3 months ago.
Yeah, it's too new. We don't know anything. We don't know enough. And that too brings it to everybody wants to compare it to H1N1 to all the past viruses. Well, number one, you can't. Okay. I see people saying and hear them saying, well, this has only killed this many people. Look how many people SARS killed. Well, that's like having a gunman that's going out killing 10 people every day and the police reacting about it really big and someone saying, well, he's only killed like 30 people this week. Look how many people Hitler killed. You can't compare those numbers.
There are lies.
I look at what this is doing now.
Yep, there are lies, damned lies, and statistics. And part of the problem is, too, we're not testing. We have zero clue how pervasive this virus really is. Because we've conducted, maybe 1,000 tests in Oklahoma, maybe two? They're not even telling us now.
In front of me, because I'm sitting in the car, I don't know that number, and I don't want to lie to you, but it's not a high number. It's low.
And they're only testing people that are very, very sick, correct?
Very, very strict guidelines based on their presentation of symptoms and pre-existing criteria, age, comorbidity factors. So, yeah, we're not testing the bulk of people.
Because we don't have the tests.
Exactly.
It's not because we don't want to.
Yes, it's... I mentioned choosing ventilators, who lives, who dies, right? That's almost kind of the point at that point. Let's see who really, 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 really qualifies for that vent and who doesn't. Who has the greatest chance of survival versus the person sitting next to them.
That is a terrible position to put our healthcare workers in.
It is. And imagine, and I am not a veteran, so when I'm using this reference, I'm using it as analogous. Imagine being a combat medic, and you got to choose between which your two buddies live on the battlefield. That happens every day in battle. It's trauma triage. That's happening every hospital in the world where this is at every day.
How are our healthcare workers faring, in your opinion, as personally? Because they also have to deal with their own families and their own lives and their own concerns about, obviously, they're at high risk of being exposed.
Yep. It's very frustrating for a lot of healthcare workers. And you see some pretty broad spectrum responses. I will say that most are proving very resilient. You know, they got like this world has not known in a century or more, and they have the opportunity to be something, to be part of something very special and potentially help a lot of people. Some are very scared because they have comorbidity factors. I have some people who are retired are getting back into it. You know, people get their licenses reactivated so they can help.
Amazing. Well, I know, sir, without going into any kind of detail, that you've had some health issues in recent years. How are you doing? Are you able to make your appointments and get the medications that you need?
So, you know, I'm very fortunate, one, to have survived cancer to begin with. But I get a little nervous because I'm not that fresh on the survival side. So, you know, I still have some immunosuppression going on in my body. So it makes me a little nervous as well. But I'm in the incident command system and in the incident management team. I'm not out in the field, but I'm being exposed to the people who are in the field treating those patients every day. But I'm having no trouble getting my medications, but I do know people out there are.
All right, Matthew. Well, thank you for your time, and thanks for, you know, laying out the facts and helping us kind of get a better picture of what's really going on. And this is war. And
it is.
You know, I kind of remind people of what their grandparents and great-grandparents did in the 40s, where everybody pitched in.
Russell, I have something unique to this, and it is what our grandparents did. The difference, for the first time in the history of the human race, there is a worldwide threat that could kill us, can wipe 100 million people out in 3 months. So there's still plenty of us here, but we could see 100 million dead in 3 months if this got out of hand. We have the ability to stop that. And the first time in our history, we can mass communicate to each other instantaneously what we need to do, which is sit on your couch. That's all you got to do to save life.
And stay home. Isn't it sad that people can't do that without bitching about it? I mean,
yeah.
Well, there's another side. There's another end to this tunnel. We will see the light. We will get out of this. It's just going to take time and patience and facing some hard realities. And so, again, Matt, thank you. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Yeah, when you say we'll get past this, when you hear healthcare workers on Facebook or you read about us on Facebook saying we want this, you know, a shutdown, this virus has a course. If we can get people home long enough for it to run its course, it's gone. We're done. We move on. If we don't, we drag this thing out for 6 months. Let's all stay home and kill this thing off. If you don't have to be out, stay home.
EMS technician Matthew Llewellyn. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective. For Cox Media Group, I'm Bert Williams.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.